Hey guys, are you looking for a sports book that you can trust? Well, look no further than mybookie.ag, where you can get a 50% match on your initial deposit of up to $1,000 when you use promo code DFSArmy. As a bonus, when you use promo code DFSArmy, you also get a free month of DFSArmy VIP and DFSArmy Beat the Bookie membership. That's a $100 combined value. So we'll help you with your daily fantasy sports, and we'll help you with your handicapping free when you sign up for mybookie.ag using promo code DFSArmy.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome to the Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast, presented to you by DFSArmy.com. Be sure to check us out using the link in the description, DFSArmy.com, and sign up with promo code TACO for a lifetime 20% off discount. This week we'll be headed to Mexico for the WGC, or World Golf Championship, Mexico Championship, and it'll be located just on the western side of Mexico City, about 7,500 feet in the air, and that's going to be one of the major factors in this tournament, along with this being a no-cut event with quite a few European golfers in play this week, about 15 to 20 guys in the field coming over from Europe or somewhere that's not the PGA Tour, and a lot of them don't matter, but a lot of them do. You know, your Fleetwoods, your Lowry's, Lee Westwood's, guys like that. It's going to be important to attack these guys. They've done really well in the past, and Tommy Fleetwood himself was saying something about it being similar to a lot of the courses in Italy. There's an event, the Omega Masters in Switzerland. It's about 5,000 feet up in the air, kind of comparable a little bit. Here stateside, the closest we get to a tournament like this would be the Barracuda Championship, which is out there in Nevada. It's about 4,000 something feet high. Doesn't have shot link data. They use the Stableford scoring system, and the champion of that tournament, Andrew Putnam, is already withdrawn from this tournament, so darn, there goes that angle right there. Another one was in 2014. The BMW Championship, which is a tournament in the playoffs that rotates courses, that was held in Cherry Hills, which was almost 5,000 feet up in the air, I think in the Nevada area. So you could kind of look to that. Billy Horschel was the champion of that with Bubba, Sergio, Jim Furyk, Rory McIlroy, and Adam Scott finishing in the top 10. I don't think Furyk is playing, but I think the other guys, they all are. So I don't really care too much for looking to these sort of tournaments. It's kind of, it just kind of makes things a little bit more unpredictable. I do know from some of the things that Phil Mickelson was saying about this tournament, it's one where once you get the course figured out, you'll know where to miss it. And oftentimes being in the rough will be better than being in certain spots on the fairway. So I really like guys this week that have played the course before. This course, we started playing here in 2017, and we played it last year too, so we only have 2 years of course history to go off of. But I just like the fact that guys have played here before and have some notes in their score sheets and yardage books. I think that's going to come in handy for a lot of these guys. And a few other guys are saying pretty much the same thing about this course. Now, of course, the biggest angle in this course is the elevation. The ball's going to fly a lot farther. This is a less than driver course. DJ himself was saying that he only took his driver out on like two or three of the holes. And despite that, it still ranks out as, if you use the tournament comparison sheet in the research station, for Chapultepec, of all active courses on the PGA Tour right now, it's tied with TPC Scottsdale that we just went to for the Phoenix Open for longest average driving distance at 298 yards. But unlike the Waste Management, where everybody's free to bomb it out with their driver all they want and will take the driver out on every single hole, this is a less than driver course. It's just the ball flies significantly. This is the one week where we want to look at apex height stats. So you can go on the PGAtour.com website and see that. You can look to this year's numbers or even last year's if you want more of a sample size. But guys that hit the ball a little bit higher might have a little bit more of an advantage. And I'd also look for like apex height to distance, which is another thing. Just pretty much who really bombs it out there high. I know DJ is really, really high up there. And there's really going to be a lot of correlation just with straight-up driving distance this week. And actually, when we go to the course correlations sheet that I ran a little while ago, that compares the historical correlations between different stats and, different season-long average stats for players and their fantasy point scoring at each given tournament. The thing about Mexico is it rates out number one in strokes gained off the tee correlation to fantasy point scoring over places like Baltusrol, Bridgestone Invitational. That's something that we're really going to see come into play here. Even the last course this was at, Doral, it was also a top five in strokes gained off the tee correlations. Not that that has anything to do with it, but that's kind of always been the way this tournament has been. We also see it rank third in strokes gained approach correlation. And usually when you look to the tops of the fields and things like strokes gained off the tee correlation, strokes gained approach correlation, usually these are some of your, almost all of the WGC championships and sort of smaller no-cut fields are kind of up there. You do see things like the PGA Championship, Travelers Championship, John Deere Classic, stuff like that right up high in there. But, stats are going to be more important than usual with it being a no-cut event, since everybody's going to get four rounds, and things will kind of normalize a little bit more over the course of the week. And, that always leads to things like fantasy scoring points, fantasy scoring stats, gaining birdies to the field and all that. Those stats are going to be way more important than things like cut making or even just having okay recent form and just making a lot of cuts and avoiding bogeys and stuff. You're going to want the guys that are more aggressive. The guys aren't afraid to make double bogey when they're trying to make an eagle on certain holes. We also see driving accuracy ranks number three in these correlations as well, out of like 41 courses that all had shot link data. And comparing that to driving distance, where the correlation is pretty average, it's kind of interesting to note that, I think a lot of people are going to be focusing on driving distance, guys that can bomb the ball out there, but it seems like the added distance, it helps the shorter drivers as well, but it's really more about being able to put the ball in the exact right spot for the approach shot. You'll basically want to have the entire package, strokes gained off the tee. With approach, of course, it's always important. Just there's an added benefit to having good strokes gained off the tee numbers this week. And it's something we're going to be focusing with our guys for sure. There's also a lot of merit to being a good putter here. We're going to want to look at these POA splits. This is yet another course in a row that was on POA Niua greens. I know we just got off some from the Genesis Open and at like Torrey Pines and stuff, the Sony Open. So POA putting is going to come into play here. They're slower greens, only about 11 on the stimp meter, and we've seen guys who putt well do really well here, especially putting. Putting during the tournament matters a whole lot. Another thing I'll kind of note here is it was top 10 in sand save shots attempted. So pretty much going to put a little more emphasis on player stats than we usually do this week. A lot of the focus is usually on things like form. We might want to look to guys, you know, who are gaining birdies and fantasy points to the field, and guys who'll be aggressive, get you those points. And to look at the course, going over the course and the hole types here, we see a lot of short par fours, and we see a lot of longer par fours. This is a par 71 course, about 7,300 yards. So it's a little bit longer, but it plays more like a sub 7,000 yard course with the elevation. I mean, that makes a pretty drastic difference. And we have some really short par fours that are, that might be drivable for certain guys. So we're going to want to take that into account. And then, you know, we've got some par fours that are just treacherous over 500 yards, but they're not as hard as they seem on paper. All of the par fives are long. We have one par five that's similar to the one at Firestone that's well over 600 yards, but guys will still be able to hit that in two, especially your longer hitters. So while general success here and stuff, you know, is really helped more by driving accuracy than distance, distance does give you a little bit more of an advantage when it comes to things like eagle making. And you might look to that a little bit more if you're playing showdown, but it's just something to know. I mean, just being good with the driver this week is going to help you. So really looking to strokes gained off the tee over distance or accuracy, or at least making sure you have a little bit of both and not just all distance and no accuracy whatsoever. Unless you're Phil, and I guess you can get away with that. And again, also just can't stress enough how I really like the guys who have at least seen the course before. I mean, some of the guys that haven't been here yet still look like really good plays. Just, it's going to help you a lot, especially if you played here both years. As far as the kind of scores that this course allows, this plays just about a quarter of a stroke under par. Pretty average as far as difficulty goes. I think guys get better as the week goes along, as they kind of adjust to the distance they're going to get from their clubs. At first, some guys, especially like some, you know, European tour golfers or guys that might have much business being there or that have never played an elevation like this before ever, a lot of those guys are going to struggle immediately off the bat because, you know, you've seen reports of guys saying they're trying to hit the ball 150 and it goes like 180. And so they have to make a pretty big adjustment with stuff like that. But we don't see very many pars here. This actually ranks among the bottom five in pars per round. We see a lot more eagles than usual, a few more birdies than usual, and we do see a lot more double bogeys than usual. You can get caught up in a mess here pretty quickly. And you know, with the sand also in play, just another thing that's going to drive a little bit more variance. You know, there's going to be more variance in these no-cut events than a usual event. Just sort of by the nature of things, with the field being smaller and stuff like that, and then all the factors of just the course's location. You know, it's in a place that we do not go pretty much ever. There's also El Chameleon that was played at the Mayacopa Classic, but that's right on the coast of Mexico, and it's not very high up in the air like this one. So it's a really unique event. And the field is really strong. You're always going to have an incredibly strong field at the WGC events. They give you a lot of OWGR points and are worth a good amount of money. So we'll see all the best golfers in the world pretty much teeing it up here. So that's a really nice thing. Just the no-cut event, or the no-cut portion of it, you might remember from the swing season. It's not the greatest, but you know, it does give us some golf to go this week, and there's you won't be as screwed over on Friday night and Saturday when you figure out your, you know, pretty much who screwed you for the week. There's always still a chance guys could fly on Saturday and Sunday, and I think there's a little bit of merit to playing the guys who tend to improve their play on Saturday and Sunday. Like an example this week is Aaron Wise, who we see miss a lot of cuts, but usually when he's in contention, he really puts up a lot of fantasy points. And we're going to kind of want to look to those guys that people are, might not be on, but if you give them four rounds, they can rack up birdies and eagles and stuff like that. And really guys who just tend to get better as the week goes on, and not Bo Hostlers who gets worse every single round. We don't want those guys. You know, you can play guys like that if you want to, but we really want to steer towards guys who can give us a really, really nice finish. We're looking for the guys with some high upside here. And of course, guys coming in with really good stats, you know, going to really be looking at the strokes gained round by round over the last 10, 20 rounds in the strokes gained section of the research station, which, of course, you can get access to if you sign up with DFSArmy.com, promo code DACO. You know, we have MLB around the corner. Just kicked off NASCAR season. We absolutely crushed it over the weekend. It's a lot of fun. You know, the All-Star break's over now. Getting back into NBA, and it's all included in one package with the DFS Army subscription. So again, sign up using the link below, DFSArmy.com, promo code DACO. And when we come back from this short little break, we'll be going over all of the 10K and above guys for the rest of this pod. So I'll be right back in a second.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.
All right, so getting into this field here, we've got our hero from last week until Sunday, Justin Thomas, is the first guy in a while to dethrone Dustin Johnson from the highest golfer position. It's not a position we see him in very often, but we have seen Justin Thomas take this spot before. $11,800 on DraftKings, $12,000 on FanDuel. Pretty deserving at this point to be up there with the very best at the very top, even over guys like Dustin Johnson. Just been playing a little bit better than him recently. Runner-up last week, should have won, going into Sunday with not even a multi-stroke lead, like a huge lead. He was up like five or six strokes and just coughed it all away. I went like five over on Sunday. Really bad showing from him. He was even right there in contention at the very end and just could not get it done. You know, kind of disappointing. You know, if he would have just finished that out and won, I'm sure he would be major chalk here. But I think guys might have their pause with, you know, how that Sunday went. He's been one of the most consistent players on the PGA Tour. And don't remember the exact number here, but he had like an incredible amount of consecutive holes without a three putt. Well over 100. I think it was like one of the longest currently on tour. And then he had a span where he had like three putts in like five holes. He really did fall apart. It was seeming like the waste management all over again. Just not a very good look from him. JB Holmes ended up taking home the trophy there by just putting up a pretty solid weekend. Had the hole in one that pretty much made it for him. Pretty much got him that victory there, but you know, if it weren't for the fact that he got a hole in one, or you know, any of the other holes, you could make this point of. But you know, I mean, Justin Thomas was just incredibly close to victory. I mean, he just was really good, you know, from the get-go there on Thursday. Just had an incredible Thursday and just kept it rolling until Sunday when he really fell apart. As far as attacking him on this slate, you know, when a guy's almost 12 to 1, I want to see his odds be around 5-1, 6-1, 7-1, and he's 9-1. So, you know, with just how the field is, there is some merit to doing stars and studs this week. Well, you can't go stars and studs. It's not possible. Stars and scrubs, studs and duds, however you want to say it. It's just going to be harder to fit the 11-plus K guys into your lineup this week. You know, there are some plays at the very bottom that open up salary, but there are not as many. You know, this field is half the size as usual field. You know, we've just come from 140, 150, 130 person fields, and now we're down to a 70 person field. The first we've seen since the last World Golf Championship out there in China. But the thing is with Justin Thomas here is he really kills it at no-cut events. He missed the last one. Didn't tee up for the China event, but we saw him bounce back after his first missed cut of the season and win the WGC Bridgestone. And the thing about that tournament is that is another event that, much like this one, is a no-cut, of course, WGC, of course, but also very, very driving, or not driving distance, but strokes gained off the tee dependent. And we even saw driving distance play a big factor in success at that course. We've seen him consistently crush at no-cut events. He's gotten tons of wins in, you know, the swing season events out in Asia, like the CJ Cup, I think it was, or the CIMB Classic. I know he's won that at least once or twice. I think twice. So he's always had a knack for no-cut events, but pretty much every event he goes to nowadays is a no-cut event for him because he's not out there missing cuts. As far as raw fantasy scoring goes, he still is the best as far as fantasy points per hole goes. Just barely edging out Dustin Johnson. And if you look at the hole types you need to have success here, the long par fives he ranks fourth in, long par fours he ranks fourth in, short par fours too, top 15 in that, 12th in the long par threes. Just has a good all-around game right now. As far as the strokes gain goes from last week, he was kind of up and down, didn't gain any strokes in the fourth or the second round, but in the second round last week, he gained almost 5 strokes approach in one round. Like, his irons were just absolutely on fire. Even the last round, he was gagging it all the way putting. He lost 3 strokes putting, but he gained a stroke and a half with his approach game. It's his irons and Matsuyama's irons are looking just better than almost anyone's in the entire field. I mean, Rory was looking incredibly hot with his irons last week until that last round where he lost almost 4 strokes in one round. I don't know what happened there. And, you know, we did see Dustin Johnson get pretty hot with his irons as well, as he snuck up to a top 10 finish after kind of a crappy start. Gained over 2 strokes in the last 3 rounds last week. Justin Thomas still, you know, he has the long-term consistency, obviously, more consistent than anyone on tour right now with both his approach game and his just general cut making and stuff. But off the tee, he's actually been struggling a little bit. He lost over a stroke in the second and fourth rounds last week. Did gain about 1.5 in the third round, but he's lost strokes in 4 of his last 5 rounds. You know, over the last 20 and over the last 10, his average has been right around 0. So no strokes gained or lost. And if you compare that to guys like DJ and especially guys like Rory, even DeChambeau and Koepka, historically those guys have been a lot more about strokes gained off the tees, where Thomas has been all pure approach. And you'll want to have a good approach game here, obviously. That helps so much, but you also want a stroke gained off the tee. You want to have those strokes gained off the tee numbers for sure. And Justin Thomas is a little bit underwhelming for a stud. I mean, he's usually like my core play, and he still is. He's projecting out higher than anyone. Runner-up here last year and 5th in 2017. So I'm going to have a heavy amount of him, but he's not my favorite play of the week like he was last week. And it's just sort of because of the importance that strokes gained off the tee holds here. And, you know, he's not as long as DJ and Rory, but his driving inaccuracy is right there alongside them. They're all around 58% or so with the driver. Kind of want to maybe look to guys that have a little bit more combined accuracy and distance, maybe like a Rahm or a Bryson or some other guys that we'll get to. So those are my thoughts on Justin Thomas. Still love him. It's been my favorite play for so long now. It's just with, I know he's historically so good at no-cut events, but here I kind of want to lean a little bit more on some other guys that, you know, just have more of a little bit more of a kick with their driver and can really take advantage of some of these holes. Dustin Johnson, of course, being one of those guys. We saw his ownership kind of dip a little bit after being the chalk at Pebble Beach and disappointing with the T45 finish. He turned around and snuck in a top 10 at the last second last week. Had kind of a sneaky good week after a really rough round one. Was looking like he was going to miss the cut after round one. And his irons caught fire, as I explained earlier. Something I've added to the research station this week with all the European Tour golfers is I just added the results of the three major tournaments that happened in Europe recently. They're not majors, but you know, really big tournaments that had very strong fields that we just had. Abu Dhabi, Omega Dubai Classic, and Saudi Arabia. It's worth noting that in the Omega Dubai Classic was affected by some really harsh weather. A lot of guys like Rafael Cabrera Bello were completely screwed pretty much because of their draw in round one. So I wouldn't look too hard into the Omega Dubai results, but it's still nice to see guys, you know, do well there. The weather's not going to be as big of a factor here. I would definitely look more to how guys performed in Saudi Arabia and Abu Dhabi. Abu Dhabi is a course that requires a lot of driving distance, like a 7,800-yard course. And all three of these events had very, very, very strong fields. Bryson went to a couple of them. DJ went to a couple of them. So I'm going to just factor that in as just an extension of recent form. And Dustin Johnson, he won out there in Saudi Arabia the week before Pebble Beach. Also placed 16th in Abu Dhabi, where he historically has done really well at. So he's in plenty fine form. One T45 from Pebble isn't going to kill him. He did finish T30. At the WGC in China, just mid-pack there, but followed that up by almost winning the Tournament of Champions. I mean, he's Dustin Johnson. Really, his off-the-tee game has kind of fallen a little bit. The last 10 rounds, he's only gained 0.4 strokes, is where the last 50, he gains about 0.8. So, you know, not terribly worried about him there, but just not quite as in love with DJ, again, as I would be with him coming into a tournament like this. He's second in fantasy point scoring to Justin Thomas, but in just raw projected round score, just based on strokes gained, on different hole types and stuff, he actually ranks first by just a little bit over JT. Again, longer with the driver, maybe more of a threat on those, drivable par threes. You look to his, fantasy scoring stats here. He ranks first in the field in long par fours. And, 11th in long par fives. Usually historically he's been almost like first in long par five scoring. Just see him get a little bit older here. You know, driver's getting a little bit shorter, not 320 anymore like it used to be. Field adjusted, it's about 314, but, you know, still top 20 in every split pretty much. Just elite tier golfer, and if he's going to be lower owned than Justin Thomas, which still not sure how people are reacting to his Sunday, but still someone I'm going to have a plenty of. Former winner here in 2017, 7th last year. I do like Dustin Johnson up here, if you can afford him, which again is the hard part. A little bit better of a play on FanDuel, but I bet he gets chalky over there. 30%+ ownership for sure. Well, his ownership also dipped a little bit last week over there on FanDuel compared to when he was the chalk at Pebble Beach. Moving along to Rory McIlroy. Seems familiar. It's pretty much the same top four as last week with DJ and JT switching spots here, but Rory and Rom, pretty much. These guys are on top 10 streaks, both of them. And both of them have a lot of strokes gained off the tee acumen, Rory especially. And it goes back as far as you can see with Rory. Strokes gained off the tee is where he gets his work done. And his strokes gained approach game recently has also been pretty darn good. If you look to... He lost almost 4 strokes approach in that last round. That is very concerning. But before then, you know, the previous rounds, he was gaining 1.8, 5.8, 1.7, 2.8 strokes gained approach. Those are some hot irons. Sunday was a little weird for people, I guess. You can ask JT. But just a little bit of room for concern with Rory, who was getting over some relatively bad iron play before his hot streak recently. But off the tee, it doesn't matter what split you look at. Rory is amazing off the tee, usually gaining a stroke or more on average. And, you know, that's going to make him a real factor here, I think. Going to be using more Rory than I usually do, which is usually not a lot. Usually Rory and Rom, these two guys, I've been sort of anti them lately. And, you know, of course, me jumping on guys who I had been anti on, like say, a Cameron Smith last week. Not always the best move here, but I do appreciate Rory and Rom here a lot more than I did like last week or even at the Tournament of Champions and stuff or other events they've played together. Usually I like JT and DJ a lot more than these, than Rory and Rom, even Rose. I tend to prefer him a lot more, but just given their skill sets, I really like Rory this week. I think he's a really solid play. And then Rom also, I mean, he's just riding that streak of 4 top 10s. Really 5, but the one was an 8th at the Tournament of Champions. That's not very impressive. But started the season 6th at the Desert Classic, 5th at the Farmers Insurance Open, 10th at the Waste Management, 9th last week at Genesis. The POA putting has not been very good for him. But he's not a very good putter in general. You're going to want to look at these guys that have been putting well in POA, especially recently. It's going to help you here. But as far as everything else, you know, Rom still rates out as a good play for me. 64% driving accuracy compared to the 58% that DJ, JT, and Rory have. That's going to help him here, I think, a lot. And, you know, Rory didn't show up here last year. He only came in 2017, finished 7th. Rom has come here both years, 20th last year, 3rd in 2017. He just makes for really solid play, I think, in tournaments, and I don't know if he'll come in lower owned than Rory. I think they'll be pretty darn similar, but I might look to him a little bit more. I'll see how I feel about these guys as the week goes on. I just do like them in GPP formats. And then at $10,300, we have Ricky Fowler, who's been kind of priced down recently, and we're seeing him finally get about the price he deserves after his win at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Really, the dude has been on some seriously solid form. 66 at the Farmers Open. That's pretty much his only bad finish he's had since the Players, which it's pretty remarkable. It's been all top 30 finishes for him outside of that Farmers Open. About 10 of them in a row, including that win recently. So Fowler, you got to pay up for him this week. Doesn't represent a lot of value, but he's still a person that you're going to want to own. He tried as hard as he could to lose at Phoenix, but he couldn't, so they let him win. But still, in cash games, I kind of looked at him a little bit more in cash games. He's been here both of the years, you know. Did pretty poorly last year, finishing T37, the bottom half of the field. But still, I just like the fact he's played. And rates out in fantasy scoring projections a lot better than Rom does. Even a little bit better than Rory does, which is interesting to see. If you look at what he does well exactly, you can see it's the short par fours. He ranks 3rd in the field at. And the long par fours also ranks 3rd in the field at, and usually his struggle, quote-unquote struggle, is he ranks 24th in the medium par 4 holes, but there are a lot less. You know, there are only 3 of those this week compared to Usually you see about 5, 6, 7 of those medium length par fours. They're the most common hole type on the PGA Tour, but I guess it helps them a little bit that those and the short par threes are really off the table this week. And it's more about the long par threes, short par fours, long par fours, and long par fives, which he does well at pretty much all of those. So Fowler, another good guy to get some exposure to. The price isn't really right for him, but I still want to have a little bit of him, because, and I would even consider just using him in cash games. Really good driving accuracy, 67%, but hitting the ball under 300 yards right now. Gaining a lot of strokes off the tee, and also putting really, really, really well. And I think that's going to help you a lot here. So target him in cash and have some GPP shares as well. Now, a guy that really rates out well here, and the last guy I'll talk about in the free version of this pod, is Bryson DeChambeau at $10,000 even. I think that's the same price as he was last week. Just on a roll of top 15s. You know, we saw him win at the Omega Dubai Desert Classic, the European Tour's Desert Classic, not our Desert Classic. He didn't play that one. And he finished 6th in Saudi Arabia as well. Really, he's just been on a monster roll ever since the Tour Championship he didn't do great at. Finished 19th out of 30 there. And he did really poorly in the PGA Championship. Even the last WGC tournament that he went to, he skipped China, but he went to Bridgestone and, you know, didn't have the greatest of performances there. T30, just middle of the pack, but outside of that, you know, winner at the Memorial, winner at the Northern Trust in the playoffs, winner at the Dell Technologies Championship in the playoffs, winner in Saudi Arabia, or winner in the Omega Dubai Desert Classic, winner at the Shriners Open in the swing season. He has that crazy upside and is just riding solid form. 4th in fantasy point scoring. Just insane numbers from him all around. His strokes gained approach numbers have been wildly inconsistent. It's like one day he'll lose almost 3 strokes and the next day he'll gain like 4 strokes. But it shows you that he has upside, but really a lot of his strokes gained numbers are just kind of wildly going up and down. So, you know, as safe as he's been, he's still kind of, it makes me pause a little bit before putting him in cash games. I probably still would, but, the inconsistency is a little, it shows a little bit. Although, as far as his finishes go, they remain pretty consistent. That'll conclude the free portion of this podcast. If you want to check out the full podcast and get access to the research station I've been referencing here, and you just want to support the pod, sign up today with at dfsarmy.com and use promo code TACO on sign up for a lifetime 20% off discount. For you VIP members here for the full in-depth pod, I will see you in a little bit. And for the rest of you guys, have a good week.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.
Hey guys, are you looking for a sports book that you can trust? Well, look no further than mybookie.ag, where you can get a 50% match on your initial deposit of up to $1,000 when you use promo code DFSARMY. As a bonus, when you use promo code DFSARMY, you also get a free month of DFSARMY VIP and DFSARMY Beat the Bookie membership. That's a $100 combined value. So we'll help you with your daily fantasy sports, and we'll help you with your handicapping free when you sign up for mybookie.ag using promo code DFSARMY.